guys from Rhode Island, is it?
No, we're actually in St. Louis, Missouri.
Ah.
Yes.
Oh, Randy Orton. Ah.
Yes, Randy Orton. the world's most boring man, yes. I'm sitting here with a very, very special guest. I'm personally beyond excited to be talking to him. I've been a huge fan of his and his friends for quite a while. Who's that jumping off the boat? It is actually Jay Hunter. Jay, welcome in. How are you doing, sir?
Hello.
Hello.
Now everyone thinks I'm a weirdo. Hooray.
Oh, no, bullshit. I mean, anybody who listens to our show knows your guys' show. I mean, we've been singing your praises since we started our podcast. So, like I said, awesome. it's a thrill to have you here. How are you doing this evening? You're 6 hours ahead of us here in St. Louis. It's 11 o'clock there in Ireland. How are things over there?
Oh, nice. It's good. It's actually... Oh, yeah, let's get straight into it. Yes, the weather in Ireland is poor. For about 4 days a year, we get good weather, so we're currently in that. So it's nice. It's actually weird. We don't know how to handle the heat. We actually get warnings telling us this is what you should do when the sun comes out.
Well, you all look like Seamus, correct? So, I mean, you all have to deal with that. I mean, that's kind of what we've been
all
taught.
All those massive ginger beards and that.
Exactly. You all like to dance around like NXT wrestlers and just have a great time. Was that not about the most depressing fucking thing you'd ever seen? Oh, my. I didn't see that NXT live, but I saw your thing on Facebook about it. And I was like, oh, my Lord. When we finally watched it, it's like, Jesus Christ, what are they doing? Like, that's just pathetic.
Oh, my God. Like, because, you know, wrestling and a lot of gimmicks, you get quite embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. So, you know, it happens here and then. But, like, it's rare that I'd be embarrassed for two separate reasons. Because this is you already lived through Hornswoggle and, you know, clicking his heels and that. And, you know, the Polish midget.
The shillelagh. The Polish midget.
And then, when he joined up with Finley and stuff like that. But, you know, it's reliving it again. But this is even worse. This is her with her bloody Irish Cayley dancing and stuff.
This is what Americans will take home.
Exactly. This is Ireland, and this is what they love doing.
Yeah, all she needs to come out is, like, drinking a pint of Guinness and with a four-leaf clover, and they can just go the whole nine with it, you know. But I don't believe she danced this last time that she was out. I think they stopped her dancing this time, which is definitely a positive.
Yeah, I just heard she you know, because she go around with big green shamrocks and stuff.
Yes.
Looked like some kind of rock star entrance and stuff, which is great. I'm very happy. I'm very relieved. So.
Oh, yeah, you should be, definitely.
She'll come out. Oh, my God. She'll have big black bug eyes, glasses. She'll be Bono.
That would be fantastic. Oh, my Lord.
She could come out with... Oh, try to get Edge as her manager.
Or she could just get Adam Rose. He's got the glasses already. So, I mean, they have him in the backstage. When, you know, he looks like fucking Willy Wonka in that most recent Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie. He could just take those glasses and she could do the whole thing. They could be a duo. That'd be great. Because Lord knows they're not going to do anything else with Adam Rose. I mean, he's pretty much dead on arrival.
He's very busy doing, the Sonic commercial?
Yeah. Him and Santino.
What kind of food is that? Because we don't have that.
It's
here.
Nasty, kind of. It's basically, imagine a McDonald's where you can't go in. You drive up in your car and you park, and you hit a button and you order from your car. Like it's in the United States, they had like drive-ins is what they were called.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a drive-in is basically what it is. And they've just bastardized the entire idea of it. And it's just the nastiest shit you can imagine. It's foul. So it doesn't surprise me that WWE is endorsing it whatsoever. They're hurting for sponsors now. I mean, if you go back and watch some of the older shows, you know, they've, you know, Karate Fighters and Stridex and things like that. But I mean, they're still kind of big. And I think Battleground is sponsored by some sort of rolled tortilla chip of some sort. Business has fallen off for them quite badly. Oh, my
Excellent.
Lord.
Actually, that would go hand in hand with Stridex pimple cream.
You would think so.
You know?
Get the... God, I can't remember what Michael Cole, the tag was for it. Like, find out what the extreme flavor of rolled tortilla or some nonsense like that. It's like, you have to be dead on the inside right now, having to read that drivel. Oh, my God. So, for like I said, pretty much anyone who listens to our show knows what you guys do. But, I mean, let's kind of, if this is someone's first time listening, let's kind of go into it. Tell everyone what OSW Review is. Kind of give them an idea of what you guys do.
Well, hello. Welcome to OSW Review.
Yes. The old school wrestling podcast.
Yes. We chronologically critique wrestling storylines pay-per-view by pay-per-view.
It's almost like you've said that a few times. Just a couple times.
We have some special equipment, so we film in glorious grapple vision.
That is impressive how you guys do that.
And my computer encodes in blast processing.
Now, you do what Nintendo don't on that computer, correct?
Oh, it's very true. Yes.
Your computer does, but Nintendo don't. Yeah. So, how did you actually meet V1 and OOC? How did you guys meet?
Did we explain what it is? Yeah, we're a roundtable wrestling podcast, full length, and I spliced it to video footage of the events and put it up on YouTube, and splicey stuff from other events. So it's just myself and the lads sit around my table and have a laugh about wrestling for 2 hours, and people seem to want to listen to that, which is very odd.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how did you guys all meet?
Well, V1, I met in college.
Okay.
We're like the only two medics that like wrestling. It was actually weird because it was probably the first week of college or whatever, and he was stumbling into anatomy class, and I just started laughing at him, and then he looked up at me, and we were wearing the same Brock Lesnar t-shirt. And then it was, it's lovely first, what was it, Here Comes the Pain t-shirt.
So. Oh, there you go. So it was love at first sight.
Bottom of my laugh.
Yeah.
And obviously I went to secondary school and like leaving cert with him. So we were introduced to one of our friends called Robbie, and someone said something about wrestling, and, never met a wrestling fan I didn't like.
There you go.
As soon as someone mentioned it, we started chatting, and there you go. A friendship built on wrestling.
You better watch saying that. You'll go to a live event and someone will recognize you, and there are some freaks at them live events. I mean, I'm sure you've been to enough WWE live events. Have you been to a lot of them? Have you been to a lot of the live shows?
Yeah. It was, my first live event would have been Insurrection.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In Newcastle, England. It's a UK only pay-per-view. It was Raw, so they had like Bischoff and Austin, Test and Steiner and stuff like that, and it was really cool. You couldn't hear what anyone was saying because it was just so loud.
Right.
And then they started having house shows in Ireland, usually two a year, so one post Mania, and one kind of Survivor Series area, and I'd go to those. But the quality of the event itself is just. It's just pants, like it's quite bad. Like you're just going there to see the wrestlers in person.
Absolutely.
You couldn't expect any kind of decent match.
No, yeah, it's exactly. I mean, we're spoiled here in the United States because, that's all they do. They tour here. I mean, my first show was, I think, 91 back then, and it was the would-be WrestleMania 8 main event of Hogan Flair main evented. So I actually got to see that loop they did. And it was, even when I was a kid, I was like, this isn't very entertaining. Like, I was probably 9 years old, hardcore Hulkamaniac and all that. And even then, I was like, I don't get this at all. But that
was this like December 91, was it?
Yeah. So I saw that loop that they did together trying out that WrestleMania match. That was my first live show. Yeah. So that's always my brand. And I got to see the very first match of Buffalo. He debuted in a house show tour in St. Louis. So Buffalo and Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. I mean, that's a hell of a show, let me tell you.
How about that? And how do you feel about Randy Orton?
We all are pretty much, just as wrestling fans, we're sick of him. He even now in St. Louis, he doesn't even get that great of a pop anymore. There for a while, it's like hometown boy, yay. But now it's just like, dude, just... fuck off for a while. Everyone's so sick of it. A buddy of mine actually does stand-up comedy with his brother. His brother is a stand-up comic. And even his brother's like, I'm so sick of people asking me about my brother and shit. And so it runs in the family, I think, just kind of, kind of not wanting to talk to people and shitting in purses, evidently. But yeah, he's just...
Is he quite charismatic or...
Orton or his brother? His brother. I've seen him do stand up a couple times. He's very funny, but it's a very sore subject. Randy is a very sore subject for him, which I would imagine so, because he's trying to build his own career being a stand up, and here's his brother, shitting in bags and spitting in people's faces, stealing the spotlight from him. Yeah, Randy Orton is, we wish there was better things coming out of St. Louis than that. So.
Mm. Because people would ask us about Sheamus and how we feel about him as well. Because pretty much, besides with Becky Lynch now and the Dublin Destroyer, I think back in 1987, we don't have anyone to really call our own. So Sheamus is the first one to really make it. And so he's just you know, stone cold.
Yeah. Oh God.
Everyone there
for a while,
knows.
There for a while, Orton was huge in St. Louis. And now it just, the bloom's off the rose. Just no one really gives a crap. You know, he's been around for so long now. It's just like, yeah, Randy Orton. That's exciting. So we'll see when they come back though. They're doing Survivor Series in St. Louis this year. So we're going to go to that. So that'll be pretty cool. The last pay-per-view they did here was, Extreme Rules last year, where they had Brock and Triple H in the cage. We got that here in St. Louis, and that was the drizzling shits. That was a terrible show. Oh my God. Just the worst. So now you mentioned that, you know, how you splice everything together into your shows. How long does it take? I mean, you pull a ton of video clips into one show. How long does it take you on average from beginning to end to get a show up on the internet?
I wouldn't count uploading, because uploading takes like 7 hours or something, but that's just like leave it go and it can go away.
Right.
But start to finish is roughly about 50 hours for a proper episode. And if we do like a Brucey bonus episode, which is like Total Divas or Bruce Forsyth.
I'm proud to say that's the only episode of Total Divas I've seen is the one that you guys did. That was enough for me. I was like, all right, that's good enough.
But like those ones would be a lot quicker, so that'll be like kind of 20 hours ish.
Okay.
But if we're doing a full on proper episode, it'll be about 50 hours. And about half of that is spent on Splicey Splicey, because we only talk about things or reference things for a few seconds. So finding the footage takes a while, and then editing it down for a few seconds takes a while as well.
Yeah, I was going to, like I said, this most recent one you did, the ECW, the newest One Night Stand. You had a ton of spliced in stuff on that one as well. I was just watching it thinking, my God, I mean, when we first started doing our podcast, I didn't have a soundboard or anything. I just had like a little USB mic, and I'd have to go in after we're finished and drop in sounds and things like that. And I thought that took forever. Like trying to put together a video package like that, I was just like, Jesus, trying to find the video and, you know, cut it down and put it in. It's just, my Lord, just watching that, I have so much respect for you. For putting those shows together, it just, like I said, has to take what seems like a year to do something like that.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, I'm quite neurotic when it comes to it. Like just when I'm editing, and I'm just thinking it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Okay, I'm sick of editing it and send it out. But it's more of a, like I it's self imposed. Like, but I love doing it. It's just like I also like enjoy the finished product and people enjoy the show.
Definitely.
So it kind of, it's very motivating to do it.
I can remember the first episode of your show that I saw was like Survivor Series. I think it was like 88. I think it was. I was trying to, it was way before.
Down period.
Yeah. It was way before the network and everything. And I wanted to watch it and I didn't have it on DVD. So I was on YouTube just trying to find it on there. And your guys' video was like the first thing that popped up. I'm like, oh shit, you know, what's this? And I mean, in that way, and I think it had just gone up too. And ever since then, it's like, all right, I have to watch every episode of this. This is phenomenal. My wife and I were in vacation out on the, and down in Florida on the beach, and she's laying out on the beach and I'm in our condo watching the WrestleMania 8 episode. Just like, she's like, you seriously going to sit in the room? It's like, I have to watch this. Like, this is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. Like, you guys just howling, laughing. 'Cause it's just like three friends sitting around. It's exact, you know, watching wrestling, just shooting the shit about it and just tearing it apart, which is fantastic.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're very kind. I'm surprised people, like so many people, want to listen to three Irish lads talk about wrestling for 2 hours. Like, I can just imagine that would be death, like, because that's the opposite of what kind of YouTube wants.
Yeah.
You know, like, the biggest YouTube videos are all probably, like, 5 minutes long. And, or, you know, some kind of compilation video. Like Matthews, like the biggest one out there from Botchamania. It's fantastic, and it's kind of geared towards that because it's
like short attention span theater. Kind of just, it gets in and out, you see the high spots. It's not long form.
Yeah, and it's very easy. It's very easy going, and it's quite funny. You can get in the comments there. But I have just a lot of ideas, like myself and Steve and other Steve, we talk about wrestling like for hours, just
Mm-hmm.
In general, we just meet up and we chat and we talk. And it's like, man, we should really tape it. Other people can hear it. Or if not, we can just listen to it back or something.
Exactly. That's kind of how we fell into to the Kayfabe Poker Night, the wrestling show that we have. It's just basically, we had another, we have a second show on our network where it's just like a comedy podcast. And we were sitting around and we would talk about wrestling and talk about wrestling. And people were like, I love your show, except the wrestling. Like, I don't give a shit about Hulk Hogan. So then it was like, well, hell, why don't we just do a wrestling show? And now that gets more time put into it than the other show, because that's just, it's always changing. You don't have to wait for something in your life to happen to talk about. Wrestling's always happening. You know, that's what's so great about it. You can, like, talk about the new shit, or you can talk about how awful WrestleMania 2 was, you know, and just go back.
Oh, my God.
That was the worst. That WrestleMania was worst. I think the thing that made it the worst was the commentary. The commentary on that show is, like I said, just the shits. It is just
not a fun as Susan St. James.
Oh, come on, George. Oh, George. Oh, George. Jesus criminy. But it does have, open it. Is that a beer for the working man right there?
You can hear that?
Oh, yeah. Shit, don't worry about it. We do it all the time.
It's very, what do I say? It's definitely not liquor, that's for sure.
It's Snapple, right? That's what Jim Ross said. It's Snapple. Oh, my Lord.
I think you guys would mind me having a beer.
Oh, hell no. No, no. We have a segment on one show called Day Drinking, so where we just review beer. So, you're perfectly fine. But I'm
just promoting the stereotype.
Is it a Guinness? It has to be a Guinness if you're going to promote the stereotype.
Oh, man.
Becky,
Mom, if you drink enough Guinness, it'll turn your shit black.
Becky Lynch is coming over. She delivered it for you on a silver platter. She did a little dance for you. But, yeah, WrestleMania 2 was the just horrible. I mean, that episode in particular I enjoyed because you guys just shit all over it, which I agree with 100%.
It's weird. That's 86 or something. So was Niall on that show? That's weird because we used to have four people on the show.
Yeah, yeah, I believe so.
Niall, yeah, there's no big secret about it. We just would do shows and it's like, you know, here it's Wednesday, we're doing a show on Wednesday, and he just stopped coming up.
Yeah.
He stopped going to my house on Wednesdays, and that's about it. moved to Germany.
That would stop him from coming over for sure. One theory I have why, you know, people love listening to you guys so much is, especially because you have a huge following here in the United States, is just the slang, like the slang that we don't normally hear in the United States that you guys use has like caught fire. Things like Roidy Magoo, the schmaz. You know, things like that is just, it's, we have kind of, as fans, have adopted that into when we watch wrestling, which is, and we don't even like, oh, I'm going to reference that. It's just, yeah, look at this Roidy Magoo, you know, things like that. It's just so funny how the way, you know, we feel like we've adopted your kind of slang. I don't know if you realize that or not, but the other huge one, I've seen signs at like wrestling shows is what bar. That is like gigantic. Like, what was the genesis of what bar?
What an epic question.
You like that?
I was over at Steve's place, V1's place, for a barbecue. It's probably must make it like last summer. And he had I don't think Americans have, I don't know, do you guys have a press with just sweets in it and like crisps and candy, that kind of thing?
Like a store, you mean? You say a...
Well, yeah, like in Irish kitchens anyway, we have one press dedicated just to sweets.
Oh, okay.
We have a sweets press.
I got you. Just like a pantry or like a drawer or cabinet. Yeah, I mean, not everyone does it, but a lot of people do that, sure.
Well, it's very common in Ireland anyway.
Sure.
And so Steve just had this massive bag of sweets, and we were just going through them, and he was like, oh, yeah, here's Randy Savage.
That's amazing.
And it was like, oh, my God, just bring that whenever we're doing the show. Just bring that up on the show.
That's so funny.
And, that was it. I think it was like Survivor Series 91.
Yeah, I think so. It was and it was Savage, I think, was the first one that he did that with, I believe, wasn't it? I think
it was a bruiser bar.
Yeah.
Green and purple.
That's right. When you were showing the snake bite clip. I think is what it was when Savage gets his arm gnawed. Or no, it's when he's up there with Elizabeth, isn't it, with Mean Gene?
Oh, yeah, they're hawking this Tuesday.
Oh, Jesus. There's something about Tuesday between the debut of ECW and the, and the Tuesday in Texas. There's just something about it. Vince loves Tuesdays for shit burgers.
It's weird. They do have this thing where they incorporate the day into the show. Maybe it's just easier advertising, you know, Monday Night Raw, but they have like Thursday Raw Thursday.
Yeah, that was a terrible name. Oh my God, Thursday Raw Thursday. That makes no sense. Just
and, yeah, this Tuesday in Texas. Very weird, anyway.
Yeah, for a while it was, is it still Friday Night SmackDown, or is it just SmackDown now? I don't really watch SmackDown
yeah,
that much.
Yeah, Friday Night SmackDown. It still says Friday Night SmackDown on my TV anyway.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it's unwatchable. I was watching it on Sky Go, mm-hmm. and you know the way they have the hashtag in the corner instead of the HD symbol? But if you're ever watching the repeat of it, because, you know, SmackDown's not live, it will have just a massive SmackDown sign on it. And in the top corner, in top right corner, has the Sky Sports logo. In the bottom left corner, has the WWE logo.
Oh my Lord.
And the bottom right hand corner, it has the Sky Go kind of button. So I was like, oh my God, it's just disgusting. I can't watch it.
It's just too many logos. Yeah. And then you start getting the ticker with like the, oh, hashtag I love John Cena and all that shit going across the bottom of the screen. It's like you're watching like some sort of financial report where they've got the NASDAQ and all that shit going across it, getting the stock updates. Just trying to watch fucking wrestling.
Probably,
you know?
Don't put up the WWE stock updates.
Yeah. Well, apparently they are up. I was reading yesterday the highest it's been in 2 months because there's talks of a merger again, which I don't ever see happening. McMahon's too crazy to merge with anybody, I think.
Oh, who wants to buy it?
I don't even think it's anyone saying they want to buy it. It's two companies merge that possibly will merge that might get by the WWE. Like it's all conjecture. It's like nothing's going to happen. But yet, somehow, their stock went up. It made no sense.
Okay. But it seems the stock market seems built on potential.
Exactly. But so the what bar, you know, really took off. The other one that people seem to be obsessed with is the Nogger. The Nogger thing. The first time you guys said that, I about shit myself. I was laughing so hard in reference to Virgil. What color Nogger was he? For people who don't know, in the United States especially, tell them what a Nogger is, because people are probably oh my God, what is he saying?
Yeah, we'll need to explain this. Yes. It's actually a legitimate name of a bar in Sweden, and by HB, and there is an Irish version of it called a Feast. It's actually a delicious bar. So it's you got a chocolate case, mm-hmm. and might have some nuts on the outside, like in the case, and then it's like vanilla ice cream underneath, and then you'd have like a wedge of chocolate in the middle of it.
It sounds quite delicious.
It is, unlike Virgil, it is quite delicious. And anyway,
poor Virgil.
Wrapping up, it looks, anyway, Virgil is a Nogger.
He is.
His outfit.
Definitely. Yes. On that show, he was. That was what bar he was.
HB is like red and white stripes, yes. And then obviously the chocolate, and he has the candy stripes in
the and the nuts too, oddly enough.
That's true. Steve had actually, I think he thought of that, like, you know, we have like a recording site, we only meet up to record the show,
mm-hmm.
And a couple of days beforehand he had said he's got something big that he likes, but he doesn't know if it'll make the show.
Oh, that's hysterical.
It's a bit dodgy. It airs,
yeah, a bit, also. Yeah.
Anyway, so he broke it out on the podcast. It's probably the only time I've had to actually stop recording because we're on the floor with it.
You guys even had like the technical difficulty card come up, like, you know, because you guys were laughing so hard. Like, you know, we're experiencing technical difficulty. I think it was from a Simpsons episode, I think is what it was from. Like, whenever he said that, oh my Lord, it was so hysterical.
I'm glad people enjoyed it. That was going to be cut, but
I'm glad. Just think what would happen if you had cut that. You would have lost gold.
I'm glad people enjoyed it, and, you know, we got past it and we actually use it. So
yes, we're trying. There's one thing that we use that anyone we talk to, we're trying to get this off the ground. It's in relation to John Cena. And we, instead of calling, you know, you guys do the John Cena, you know, I can't think, what's that? Tony Schimmel, how it does it. We actually call him Rapidoo, because at the top of his song, like when the music starts, the guy goes, Rapidoo. So we call John Cena Rapidoo. So we're trying to get that off the ground any which way we can. Anyone who wants to call him Rapidoo that's listening to this, please do.
Awesome. And it sounds like kind of brother of Scrappy-Doo.
Exactly. And he was in the Scooby-Doo movie. So it all comes together.
Nice.
He was in the Scooby-Doo cartoon movie. So so you guys, you have the T-shirts, as we call them. You guys went through all the T-shirts. I saw on your Facebook you guys are going to be working on a second design now.
Yeah, I would just explain T-shirts. It's yes. I guess whenever we have like ads, like we absolutely hate shilling, but we wanted to tell people, hey, listen, there's a shirt. So I wrote a thing for OSC. Then myself and Steve are just looking at him. OSC reads it out. Can't spell T-shirt. T-S-H-A.
The T-shirt.
The T-shirt. So that's our T-shirts now, our T-shirts.
Oh, they're great.
It went pretty cool. Kev Gilmore from Squared Circle Tees, mm-hmm. Squared Circle Tees, helped with the finalizing the design and sort of nice. The fantastic quality, we're really happy with it. He makes some amazing designs. There's like, you might see there's like a, you know, the Ramones logo. He does mm-hmm. the Hey Yo Chico. It's very cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
And One Giant Leap for Mankind and some other stuff. So, yeah, extremely talented dude. We're very happy with it. The thing is, like, to get kind of higher quality for a lower cost price, you have to order in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just order a limited run. So it's kind of, we were able to, it was very fortunate. We were able to sell out on these. So it was sweet. So I wasn't left with a big bill. Exactly. You know, 100 T-shirts just in my wardrobe.
Like, I was happy to get in on it. I was, I'm one of the proud owners of one of the shirts. So we were even featured in your most recent video at the very end. We were with Jim Cornette. We were featured awesome. With him. Yes. Yeah, so that was a very cool experience.
Thank you, bro.
Oh, please. My pleasure. But he even commented on the shirt. He's like, oh, that's Macho Man. It's like, yeah. He didn't know what to think of it. He was sauced out of his mind. Yeah, he really wasn't. I shouldn't say that. But Jim Cornette was a hell of a nice guy. Because I know he's going to be doing, I think, a UK tour. Or he already did, possibly. But if you ever get a chance to meet Jim Cornette, hell of a nice guy. Like if he does like a signing or a meet and greet or anything like that near you, go check him out. Super friendly guy.
Did you go to Wendy's with him afterwards?
Or? Unfortunately, I didn't. No, we had him sign Sprite cans though, because how much he loves Sprite. So he got a big kick out of that. He thought that was pretty funny.
Nice.
Yeah, but he was at this local indie show in just this rotten part of town, East Carondelet, Illinois. Horrible part of town. And so it was so great listening to him shill it on his podcast leading up to it. He's like, oh, it sounds beautiful, East Carondelet, Illinois. I'm thinking, dude, you have no idea what you're walking into over here. So, you know, you go to this little indie show and it is like Darwin's waiting room over here at this place. I mean, these people are straight out of the fields. It was unbelievable. The people watching was phenomenal. The best people watching I've ever had in my life. But he was super cool. He didn't charge for anything unless you wanted to buy an 8x10 or his book. His autographs were free. Pictures were free. He'd talk to you. Super friendly guy. Now, you mentioned, you know, everyone knows who listens to your podcast or watches it, the run-in with Virgil over the tenor. So why don't you tell people that story real quick? Because I have a rebuttal to that story.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, OSC goes to Orlando a lot on work, and on one of the instances there was a wrestling convention on, so he managed to go to that, and so he got to see Christian and ODB and stuff like that, and he went anyway, he was just by himself, and he was just looking around, and like Virgil was there by himself, caught his eye. Virgil ran up to him, started, hey, how's it going, and all that, and he was like, oh yeah, just you're a school teacher now, and you know, trying to show him that he actually knows a bit of Virgil, because Steve was a huge Virgil mark back
sure,
in the day.
Sure.
And anyway, so he got in, and before anything, he started signing pictures, and that'll be $10, please.
Oh.
And I was like, you know, like, who am I making this out to kind of ahead of time? And yeah. So, you know, got his $10. And, yeah, he was the one that ate that night. So,
Good
for him.
Yep.
So Steve has been bitter.
I have him trumped. So Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase was coming to that same indie show about a month later at the East Carondelet, Illinois. Growing up, I was the biggest DiBiase mark. Even as a little kid, he was my favorite. Even as an adult, it's only gotten more intense. I fucking love the guy. So I find out he's going to be 20 minutes from my house doing a meet and greet. And it's like, oh my God, you know, I don't care what's happening that night. I'm going to see the Million Dollar Man. So we go there, we buy tickets. We weren't even going to stay for the wrestling show. We were just buying the ticket to meet Million Dollar Man. So it's like $11 to get in the door. So you pay your 11 bucks. So we're standing there in line, and we're like second or third in line. And here he comes, and I'm like freaking out. I'm hitting my friend in the arm like, oh my God, it's the Million Dollar Man. Holy shit. You know, he looked terrible to begin with. It's like, oh, okay. He's like hacking up a lung, like coughing real bad. It's like, Jesus Christ. But he had his Hall of Fame ring on, so that's something.
So, was he in a suit? Or?
He was in like a black suit, and it was so sad. His lapels on his jacket, it looked like he had taken gold puffy paint and put like the dollar signs on it. Like he was trying to, it's like, what the hell are you wearing? Oh my God. But then he took the jacket off when he sat down. So it's like, well, that kind of defeated the purpose. Like what the fuck was the point of that? So he sits down and I'm just sitting there freaking out. You know, I'm 10 feet away from like one of my heroes growing up. And I hear him kind of gruffly telling someone like to get out my pictures and blah, blah. And it's like, whatever. Cause I had taken his autobiography with me to have him sign. And then I was going to buy an 8x10 and get a picture just like we did with Jim Cornette. So we get up there and I'm kind of starstruck. Oh, Mr. DiBiase, I'm, you know, thank you so much for coming. And I put my hand out to shake his hand and he kind of just looks down. He like halfway shook my hand, like this the limp and terrible handshake. And he goes, so what do you want? It's like, oh, I was wondering if I want to get an 8x10. And then he's like, okay, which one? I pointed it to it. He's like, okay. And then I'm like, if you could also sign my book here. I brought your book. And he's like, only way I'll do that is if you give me $20. It's like, oh, fuck. It's like, okay.
Come on.
You know, it's like, you know, your hero spitting in your face. It's like, okay. And so I gave him the $20 and I'm like, can we get a quick photograph? He's like, I ain't doing pictures. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just fuck myself. Goodbye. So I kind of slump my shoulders and walk off. And my buddy Landon, who was in the picture with Jim Cornette, he had they put out like the SummerSlam anthology DVD set a few years back. And he had one of the inserts that had DiBiase, Andre, and Virgil on it. And he was going to have him sign that. And for whatever reason, DiBiase signed it twice and charged him $10. It's like, did he like lose his shit for a second? Like, why'd he sign that twice? But so we're walking out and the line's like 40 people deep. And they're like, how much is he charging? And I was telling people, they're like, fuck that. And they just got out of line, went and sat back down. So he lost quite a few customers because of his prices. But I don't understand. So you're going to charge $10 for an 8x10 to get autographed that I'm buying the 8x10, but you're going to charge $10 to sign a book that I brought. So he's now the $31 man is what we call him. He's no longer the Million Dollar Man. He's the $31 man. So I think I got Steve Trump there. At least he was only out of tenner and, you know, not $31.
Yeah. Now we can't tell that story anymore.
Yeah. The $31 man wins. Of course, he had to outdo his valet or his bodyguard. He had to do that, you know. You know, just because he can't let Virgil one-up him. So, with you guys doing the shows and everything, I noticed, like, on YouTube, you guys have had a couple different YouTube channels. I mean, as far as, like, the threats from WWE corporate or anything like that, I mean, what have you guys kind of faced in face of all that?
Well, we have... This is our 11th account, OSW Review HD. there's weird because there's only kind of a couple episodes that account for like four or five of those that they just absolutely didn't want that. Like they didn't want this Tuesday in Texas.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
bizarre.
Absolutely not. And the Marine as well. They got their panties in a twist about that.
I can kind of understand that a little bit, I guess, just because it's a movie. Maybe I don't know, but the Tuesday in Texas one baffles me.
It's weird because they let it up for like 2 weeks and then it's like, blam, take your account.
But we did get the American versions of all that. I like how you reposted all the videos with like the American flag behind the image. I thought that was pretty good.
I hope you'd enjoy it.
Seeing King Kong Bundy in front of an American flag inside of a cage was really awe-inspiring.
Yeah, it's quite difficult. It's very precarious. Like it's really, it's odd. It's like, because I remember I just upload a video twice, the exact same video twice, and one of them would be blocked instantly, and the other one is fine. You know, so there's just, maybe it's YouTube's like content system or something, but it's whack anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, absolutely. So, I mean, you guys, you know, obviously did the Hulkamania era. Then you kind of switched to the David Arquette storyline. Then you went to, now you're in the ECW storyline. Do you like doing the storyline videos more, or do you like the era videos more? Like, which one do you get more enjoyment out of?
It's the storyline. It's just quite liberating. Like, first of all, like, doing the Hulkamania era, I never thought we'd actually finish it. So that was just kind of our goal, SummerSlam 92. But that, hey, that's whatever.
Right.
30 episodes away. So, you know, we'd have much, we never thought we'd finish it. We thought one of us would quit, or we'd get bored, or we'd have no fans. It wouldn't be worth the time, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But no, thanks to Matthew, really, we got our big break. Kind of about 16 months into starting, and it's been pretty cool. But I don't know. Yes is the answer. No, I quite like. By the time we were finishing Hulkamania, we kind of needed the end in sight, because with similar wrestlers and just the era in particular, it gets kind of samey. So
definitely,
it was beginning to feel a bit like work. So. And we're so happy to freshen it up and be like revitalized to go do all these reviews again. I loved the Hulkamania era. That's why I chose it. No one else did it as well. It seems to be the forgotten era, because you do current and a lot of people look at the Attitude era. Mm-hmm. And so why not do Hulkamania, you know?
Absolutely.
But finishing that, I just really wanted to do something completely different. So instead of SummerSlam 92, like huge WWF pay-per-views, why don't do the drizzling shits of WCW?
Yeah.
And I actually like David Arquette. I think he's pretty cool. Like, obviously, he's not a good actor or wrestler, but, you know, he's a wrestling fan. Seems like a cool dude. And
yeah, I mean,
he gets quite a bum rap.
Yeah,
as well.
I agree. Like, if you've seen, like, the Legends Roundtable, where they talk about celebrities, Diamond Dallas Page is on there, and Jim Ross, like, tries to shit all over David Arquette.
Immediately.
Yeah.
They don't even let them start the show. It's like straight into David Arquette.
And him, DDP's
finger and palm
backing him up, though. DDP's right there with him. So I thought that was pretty cool. And kind of made Jim Ross look like a little bit of a bitch, which I thought was pretty funny. But because he wasn't drinking, that was Snapple in his coffee cup. So that's why he was a little pissy, I guess. So do you think you guys will ever go back to doing eras? Or do you think it's just going to be storylines or kind of things like you're doing right now?
Well, I really enjoy doing shorter storylines, because it's quite self-contained, and it's, well, the WCW one was 3 episodes, and the ECW one was actually just, it was supposed to be 4, it's gestated to 6.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really enjoyable, taking snapshots and just doing something completely different. It's a lot of fun for us, and it kind of keeps us interested, and so hopefully that, our fans can notice that as well, is that, like, we have a specific plan for it, like, with Arquette, like, I knew that was WCW in 2000, so, like, I wanted to go through the title changes as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course there's a title change on the show, so we'll worm our way to that. And, you know, just getting to talk about it and talk about Russo, talk about our love of Jeff Jarrett, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And, I mean, plus, too, like you said, it had to get a little, like you said, get wearing towards the end of it. And this way, too, you get to talk about wrestlers that, you know, if you just do storylines, you don't, you know, like talking about Stone Cold or David Arquette, or just, for example, I mean, you wouldn't, if you stuck with that, just doing, you know, every one of them in order, I mean, it'd have been another 15 years before you would have gotten current, you know, I mean, it would just been hell on earth. At least this way you can bounce around to, you know, if you want to do like a Four Horsemen one or whatever, you know, this way it keeps a little bit lively, and, you know, you don't have to talk about the same, like you said, roster of guys for the next 2 years straight, like you did, you know, with the Hulkamania era.
Yeah, it really opens up the show. So we get like a lot of requests and stuff, and it's interesting to see what people want us to review, you know. And I didn't want to be pigeonholed and just to be like early 90s WWF. And the other one thing is, if I'm spending 50 hours editing it, I don't want to do it. I don't love the new generation like it does, you know.
So
if he wants to edit the show, that's fine, but I'd literally quit the show if I had to do Survivor Series 92 and Rumble 92. I want no part of Bob Backlund or Yokozuna.
God. That's fantastic. Even though Yokozuna was involved with the greatest Royal Rumble ending of all time. People talk about, you know, the who was it went 1-30. You know, Ray went 1-30, and Flair's performance. If you go back and watch Rumble 93, not only does Randy Savage shit the bed at the end where he tries to pin him to win the Royal Rumble, which is hysterical. But so, you know, Yokozuna, the sumo champion straight out of Japan, you know, this bad son bitch, it's, you know, taking everybody out. So they have the Japanese music playing, Fuji's in the background waving the Japanese flag. Yokozuna's just won. He looks dead down the camera. And what's he say? Samoa forever. Your Japanese villain just said Samoa forever. I love that moment. It's like, well, he just completely undercut that whole gimmick. That's awesome. Poor Yokozuna. He had no idea. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, you still watch the product? I mean, do you keep pretty current on everything?
Yeah. I'd watch Raw every week. Mm-hmm. I just can't watch SmackDown. Yeah, I can't do it. It's like way. A dress rehearsal for Raw. So, like, I did start watching Raw kind of January, February-ish, but I found out that since they have the same matches with the same finishes on SmackDown, it actually hurt my enjoyment of Raw, so... You know, I leave that go. But I always keep up on what's happening these days. And, like, I'd get asked, can you review Raw or, you know, the pay-per-view or stuff like that? And sometimes I do a quick write-up for it. But it's just a lot, even though there's some good things about Raw or WWE in general, the bulk of my opinion would just be me giving out.
Oh, that's I sit here and watch it, and I just scream at the TV, like, what the fuck? Like, why bring Flair back in to hit on a woman and then leave? Like, what was the point? Everyone's like, Ric Flair is going to be on Raw tonight. Ric Flair is going to be on Raw. And they bring him out, and he talks to Renee Young, and that's about it. It's like, oh, that was pointless.
A question for you, actually. Do you remember this week you had the 2K ad for Sting?
Yes.
Two generations of Sting. Did you see the 2K logo beforehand?
I didn't, no.
Okay, like I did go back and had a look, and it actually is there for 1/4 of a second. Mm-hmm. Not WWE 2K14, just 2K games or whatever.
Oh, so, I see what you're saying.
I know, I didn't see it. All I heard was this orchestra playing a version of Sting's Crow theme.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Flipped out. Holy shit, this is Sting. Oh my god. And then it's like, yeah, it's Sting, but fuck you.
Yeah.
It's a video game. Buy my you can't even buy it. You could pre-order, you could pay and not have it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think you're going to see Sting in the ring. The reason I say that is you have Triple H on their website, you know, his little weekly sit down teasing it. McMahon's teasing it. He's going to show up in the ring. Sting's talking about wanting to do it. I mean, you're going to see him in the ring. It's just, do you think it's going to be something worth watching? Do you think it's going to be a letdown, or do you think Sting comes through?
Well, I'd like to keep my hopes low, and if it exceeds that, that would be great. It just depends if he wants to do a match, because if he doesn't, it'll be kind of like the Warrior coming out, and he'll have a promo, and he'll probably have just his face, and then have a mask with the Sting, the Sting mask.
I think Sting should come back as 90s Sting. Like, fuck the Crow character. Have him come out the blonde crew cut, you know, the This Is Sting music blaring, his little sparkly Gansy. Just have him come out jumping up and down, screaming. That would be fantastic. I think they should go back to that. Fuck the Crow. That played itself out. Or Joker Sting, like he was in TNA. You can just come out and be the Joker. That'd be fun, too.
It'd be cool. Like, I really hope he ends up doing a wrestling gig. Like, I know his wrestling over the last few years are quite poor, but just the promos and the way WWE, their production of it as well, they can do so much with it.
Absolutely.
It'll be really fantastic. Like, the hype will be off the charts if they do it properly. Oh, God, yeah.
I don't think you're going to see him with Undertaker, though. I think Undertaker's finished. I mean, let's hope after that last match. I mean, the way he almost died, you know, going to the hospital and this, I mean... He's getting up there in age. I don't know if he needs to be wrestling anymore. What do you think?
I'd agree. Like, I'd agree that it's probably going to be a shit match, but I really want to see it. Well, I more so want to see the 6 weeks of build beforehand.
Yes.
And just be prepared for the worst when they get it. You know,
I completely
Sting and Taker
agree.
Both come out wrestling in t-shirts and, you know, just 10 seconds brawl to the outside around the ring. Hey.
Rest holds.
Yeah, double count out, brought to the back. See you later, lads. You know?
Have a Randy Orton rest hold. That'd be good. That's what he's famous for, is just his little reverse chin lock. Just put that on, Randy. That'll be good.
So, but sure, who's going to be still wrestling when they're 50?
Yeah, Randy Orton will be there, shitting in purses. Yeah, he'll be there. Now, the other big thing that came out this week was a couple of things, actually. WWE finally announced that they're going to do a Randy Savage documentary DVD. I don't know if you saw that or not. They're going to finally come out with something other than just the match compilation. So they're finally going to acknowledge his existence, which is pretty nice. So do you think they finally put him in the Hall of Fame this coming year? What do you think?
It's very difficult. Like, I'd say the only... like, unless they've managed to ease up on it, or maybe it's because Triple H is controlling and he doesn't have as much beef that McMahon did. But I'd imagine the reason they have the documentary is because shareholders are saying, why don't we have a documentary DVD? Yeah. You know, like, that was the reason for the compilation, the Macho Madness compilation in the first place. So if I was quite cynical, I'd say that. But, you know, we can only hope, really hope, like, he's the most... the biggest, most glaring omission in the WWE Hall of Fame.
It's ridiculous.
Like, by a wide berth.
It's absolutely ridiculous. But once you put him in, that's all of the, really, the deserving Hulkamania era guys are in. I mean, he's it. I mean, then you're going to have to start looking forward into the your favorite.
Ronnie Garvin, yeah.
Yeah, Rubbish Ronnie. He needs to get in there. I mean, put him, the Big Boss Man, get him in there. Ravishing Rick Rude, he ain't in there. Who'd you say?
Not the librarian.
Yeah. Get them all in there. But hopefully, I mean, this will finally do it. And evidently, from what reports are saying, they're actually going to acknowledge the story about him and Stephanie in some way in this documentary. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out, if they how honest they are about all that.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect any type of honesty, but I'm very, like, that would make it a must watch.
Oh,
if they
God,
say we're
yes.
going to deal with these rumors. Well, of course they won't. But,
or if they do, it'll be very vague. Well, something, you know, people said something happened. You know, they're not going to say, like, you know, fingered her in the bathroom or anything, which he snapped into her Slim Jim or anything, but you never know.
He entered her danger zone.
We could just keep going. She sent for the man. I mean, that'd be another one you could do. Or oh, my God. So then also, we finally get closure with the CM Punk situation. Thank Christ. That's finally... done with. He's finished. They put his little profile in the alumni section. So do you think the reason people shit themselves so bad over that is because he stayed so quiet?
Do you mean giving out about why people negative on CM Punk?
Yeah, I mean, just as far as people are losing their mind, like, oh, he's coming back, and they just keep talking about it and keep talking about it and keep talking about it. Do you think if maybe he had just said, hey, this is why I left, and because he was always pissing and moaning about people bothering him, you know what I mean? If he had just come out and said, this is why I'm quitting, or I have quit, or I haven't quit, do you think it would have alleviated some of the pressure that people were putting on him?
Oh, definitely. But he's still a carny. He's still a wrestler.
Yeah.
So I was expecting that he'll keep it quiet and he'll save it for, I don't know, making a podcast or going on Colt Cabana's podcast or for his big return promo or something like that.
Because apparently he finally spoke out on Twitter for the first time in months, and he said, I'm starting a band, I'm starting a podcast, and I'm on fire. Two of these things are true. So we might be seeing a CM Punk podcast, which I think would be interesting.
Jeez, it's just him moaning, banging on for 2 hours. Like
AJ Lee banging around in the background, cooking him dinner and stuff. And
I think he's, like, as a personality, he's amazing, and he's, like, really well fit for wrestling, but I couldn't imagine being around him all day.
Oh, my God,
imagine
no.
It's so difficult. Everything would be a fight with him.
Yeah, that's kind of how it comes. And, like, you know, the people are like, oh, he's pretty, you know, pretty angry and bitter a lot, and you don't want to talk to him. It's like, oh, boy, let's get around this guy, please.
I wonder if people are annoyed with him because his character is very strong-willed, and he'd always talk about change and making things better, and, well, he didn't, you know.
Right.
His whatever crusade, it kind of failed, and then he left, and people are annoyed that, well, he left us, you know, even
exactly.
Whatever circumstances with WWE. Like, he did 49 minutes at the Rumble, and then what happened? Batista won it, and he's like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
And the worst part was...
a few months later, we find out the WWE Network, they're not paying the wrestlers, they haven't got their WrestleMania payoff, or it's, you know... 85% lower than it was, and they still haven't worked out what they're paying people for the WWE Network. So it's he got out at the right time.
I think,
and he's
so
not
too.
Fucked, you
no.
know.
And the worst part was his last program was with the corporate Kane. I hate how they call it corporate Kane, demon Kane, all that shit. But Kane wearing business slacks. eliminated him from the Royal Rumble, which is really sad to go back and look at. How Kane, if you notice it, right before Kane eliminates him, he fucks up his spot and he's in the wrong place. And it's supposed to be this big, oh my God, Kane's back. Meanwhile, you just see him run right in front of the camera. It's like, oh, okay, I kind of see where this is headed. And then, of course, he eliminates him. But I like thinking that corporate Kane is just Isaac Yankem, and he's just retired now. Like, he's in, like, the Chamber of Commerce. You know, he's in local government. You know, he's, you know, got the slacks on, the nice business shirt. But just the drizzling shits. So, it's just awful. Now, you guys don't technically have the network yet over there. But there, have you guys figured, because apparently there's a way of changing something in your computer and you can actually get it. Have you guys done?
It's actually quite easy. If you have Firefox or Google Chrome, if you went to the app section, just search for HOLA, H-O-L-A, and it'll just change your proxy. You can change it. It's a free app. It'll change your proxy to the States or the UK or Ireland or whatever else you want. And you can sign up to the network, and it'll take your credit card or your PayPal account, and that's fine. The only reason it wouldn't play for you when you've logged in is it checks your IP. So it basically just masks it and says it's from the States, and you were good to go.
Yeah. So do you enjoy the network? Do you watch a lot of it?
It's weird. I don't think it's indexed very well, but it's weird because there's just so much stuff. They have put all of the big things on it, like. Mm-hmm. I actually think it was a mistake because unlike Netflix, who have, you know, they keep getting new movies and new TV series, WWE have a finite amount of like a backlog, and like the big things would be WWE pay-per-views, WCW pay-per-views, ECW pay-per-views, and then on a lower tier you'll have Raws, Nitros. And that's about it, our Saturday night's main event. But you know,
that was pretty cool. They put those up recently. I was really excited for the Saturday night's main event. If you haven't watched those before, they are not good. And they get better like around like WrestleMania 3, 4, and 5, you know, when they start getting like the Brain Busters and the Rock and things like that. When that show first started, it is almost unwatchable. It is horrendous how bad it is.
Oh, Uncle Elmer getting married. What?
The Uncle Elmer. Have you seen the Halloween one?
No, that didn't do anything for you.
Iron Sheik as Batman is about the funniest fucking thing.
That's a win. Oh, it's a big win.
That is a good episode. And then Roddy Piper coked out of his tits and like helping kids. Yeah, but helping kids trick or treat, and then they give him like some sort of chocolate covered red peppers. Oh my God, that episode's fantastic. Just how bad it is. It's great. Iron Sheik as Batman is worth the subscription price to the network by itself.
The only thing about the network is I don't think it's I'm not talking about the shilling on Raw promotion where it's like one every 11 minutes we'll talk about the network for 45 seconds. I'm talking just if you go into it, it's quite difficult to navigate. And God help you if you want to watch two episodes of Slam City or something like that. You know, they'll just repeat it, the same one acknowledging them, and it's very difficult to move chapters and stuff like that. But I don't think it's presented very well. But there's actually just so much content that, like, oh, man, it's awesome. The first thing I do is check out WCW 2000s and 2001 pay-per-views, and it's incredible, you know?
It's fun playing kind of a roulette with the network as well. You just close your eyes and kind of hit on the remote a few times and hit enter and hit it a few more times so you can kind of go in between the things. You would be we've watched some just awful pay-per-views that way. A lot of bad WCW shows from, like, the early to mid-90s, like, you know, the first Uncensored and shit like that. The Uncensored with the Cage of Doom, where it's Hogan and Savage against like 25 people. We actually kept track, and they said the word Uncensored, I think it was like 73 times in the course of that pay-per-view. So it came out to an average of like four times every it was something crazy. But they said the word Uncensored like 75 times in a 2.5 hour pay-per-view. It's like, I fucking understand what I'm watching. You got to keep telling me, oh, it's Uncensored. Anything will happen. It's Uncensored. Ugh. All right. And
does any of the editing annoy you? Like the theme edits or like blurring of... sometimes they have like the WWF logo blurred.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Because sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. I think basically they probably... The catalog they had with the scratches, they probably went back when they thought they'll never get it unblurred again and just blurred a bunch of it. And maybe they just don't want to go back and unblur it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. They would have digitized it already and then like just get the pay-per-view up and then we can look about getting the master copy up later kind
exactly. of thing. Exactly. That's I think that's what it is. So we put up on your on Facebook, we asked fans if they had any questions, they could send them in. Let's see if we can't find a couple here. A lot of wanting to know what bar you are. A lot of people want to know what bar you are. Let's see what we got here. Here's by the way, I do enjoy the photograph that you put up of Kelly Kapowski sitting on her bed talking on the phone for having people send in questions. I thought that was quite good. Are you a big Saved by the Bell fan?
Yeah, I loved it.
And the Macho Man poster in the background as well. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's
twice because she's got a macho poster.
Oh, that's great. So you did watch Saved by the Bell a decent amount?
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty cool. What was weird, I quite enjoyed it as a kid, and it was weird when they had the new class. Well, it got kind of shitty towards it, because then they all have summer jobs, and they spent the season...
at the beach club.
Yeah, yeah.
The and beach club.
Then they had they split off into two. It was the brand extension of Saved by the Bell.
They had two different general managers.
Yeah, where Zach and Slater and all, they went to college. And that was god awful.
Yeah, really the college years. Yeah, that was bad.
And then they had Saved by the Bell, the new class, with basically the same stereotypes.
And Screech hung around too. Oh, yeah, no, he went back after the college years. He went back to be like the assistant to Mr. Belding.
That was horrible as well.
Yes, it was. Bad. So this question actually has to do with Saved by the Bell. It's a it's a Mary Fuck Kill situation. Mary Fuck Kill, Mr. Tuttle, Mr. Dewey or Jim Diamond? Do you remember?
These, like season one of Saved by the Bell.
Well, Mr. Tuttle and Mr. Dewey were teachers, and Jim Diamond. I don't know if you've seen the episode. It's the one where they buy the class rings, and Zach gets duped by some shyster who doesn't. He sells fake rings.
Okay, so we'll probably kill him then. That's only the only honorable thing to do.
I think so. And I'm trying to remember which one, Mr. Tuttle and Mr. Dewey. One of them's heavy set guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think Tuttle would probably he'd be quite lazy in bed, so we'll take him.
Fair enough. That's a good one. A lot of people asking about Batista's dick as well, which is really off-putting. A lot of people wanting to know about Batista's dick. Oh, my goodness. All right. What current WWE superstar in the mid-card to main event level do you find overrated that isn't Orton, Cena, Kane, or Triple H? This is from Eric Ortiz Torres.
Who is overrated? People that don't give out about Kane. He does not get enough shit for how terrible he is trying to kill other wrestlers. Like, he should get X-Pac heat, but everyone's pretty okay with him.
I hate Jack Swagger. I think he should be shot.
Oh, you don't like Jack Swagger, Captain?
He should be shot out of a cannon for what he's done. He killed Dolph Ziggler. He killed Bad News Barrett. I don't know how they keep him around. It drives me nuts. He's not safe to be with.
If you watched him in ECW, it was like 2009 before he got shipped off to Raw, mm-hmm. he was a beast. Actually have like awesome matches with Tommy Dreamer, Christian, Funley, you know, and as soon as he went to Raw, they absolutely smashed him.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, he used to be amazing, and he's been terrible for so long that it's like it never existed.
Like I said, I just can't forgive him for taking Dolph Ziggler's push away from us. I can't forgive him for that. I was a big Dolph Ziggler mark, and he kicked him in the head and it killed it for all of us.
It's weird. Yeah, WWE are very big on punishing you for getting a concussion.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Same thing happened to Fandango as well.
Yeah, and Bad News Barrett, God knows what will happen to him. This is his second shoulder surgery or shoulder injury. Or no, elbow was the first time. This time it's his shoulder.
And Triple H already took his catchphrase, so...
Yeah, yeah. What was that all about? I guess maybe just to keep him in people's minds. He's supposed to be at Battleground Sunday, so at least we'll get to see him. That'll be good. He's going to present the Intercontinental title to whoever wins that shitty Battle Royal, so that'll be exciting.
Well, both Triple H and Cena, they're very big on befriending whoever is kind of hot at the moment.
Aren't they, though?
Like, they'll be mates with Daniel Bryan, or do you remember when Zack Ryder was relevant? Even Evan Bourne, when he was getting a push. And what happens to him afterwards? They all die a death.
Yeah. Well, Zack Ryder gets put into a body cast, so that's exciting. Let's see. In fact, and this is from Tom Drama. In fact, why are WWE sabotaging their mid-card in general? Sandow's a joke act. Cesaro's losing to jobbers. Fandango is an extra in a Divas feud. Ziggler is happy bumping along in great mid-card abyss. Why do you think they're killing their mid-card?
Well, there's two reasons. One is, fuck you.
Yeah.
they don't... WWE are only capable of pushing, like, four acts at any one time, max. So everyone else is just at a different level, you know, and they're busy with the Shield guys mm-hmm. and Cena, and that's four. So the rest of you can fuck off, really. But there's also this weird... see, it's the problem with wrestling. It's in its own bubble. So with the mid-card, it's like you'll just do what we say, and that's it. There's no room for improvement. I don't know. It's it's like they rigidly script it so you don't get over, and then they punish you for trying to get over it yourself. But preach about, hey, you got to take the brass ring and ruthless aggression or whatever. So it's very odd. It must make sense to Vince and staff and the writers, but it makes no sense. Why wouldn't you want everyone to be over? Because when everyone's over, you're in the Attitude Era.
Exactly.
You know,
and so it's really sad to over, watch.
The more money we'll make, the more people will want to see the show. So it makes no sense. You're right.
It's sad to see what they do to Sandow. It's so sad to watch that. It's just, that poor bastard. I mean, he won Money in the Bank last year, and now he's dressed up as Bret Hart. You know, and Bret Hart's about the most boring person I've ever watched on television. I mean, he is so boring.
Business.
Oh,
don't make me defend the new generation era.
His promos are just, he talks like this. He shows no emotion whatsoever. It's just so funny. That NXT match not too long ago, it was Natty Neidhart versus Charlotte. And Flair was in Charlotte's corner, and Bret Hart was at Natty's. And it was just like two polar opposites. Like Flair's outside, you know, acting like Flair, basically, you know, elbow dropping the floor. And Bret Hart's standing there looking like a totem pole, just not hardly moving, showing any emotion. It was just so great seeing these two guys like on completely different spectrums, you know, as far as emotion goes.
I reckon there's a bit of Bret knew that Natty was losing, so his heart wasn't in it.
You think that's what it was?
He was just disappointed. Yeah.
Well, Natty screwed Natty in that instance, I think.
Yes. And with other things about mid-carders, it's like WWE like to test their talent. Like, we'll give you a push, and then we'll completely take it away to see if you strop, to see if you're interested in it.
Right.
But the problem with that is you're also killing their character on TV, and it takes a lot to actually get them back up to where they'd be accepted, or even back to that level. So they're just killing themselves by trying to keep the wrestlers in check or something. It only makes sense to people working in WWE, but
I
don't know, you've killed a lot of stars this way.
I mean, and just look at Dolph Ziggler. I mean, Dolph Ziggler is still, no matter what they do to him, so over with the crowd. Like, he comes out and he still gets a gigantic pop. You know, why? I don't understand. He must have some sort of heat with someone backstage, is the only thing I can figure out. It's bonkers. So let's see, a couple last questions here. This is actually one I came up with. Who is worse at their art form, Mick Foley in his stand-up or Chris Jericho at his music?
Jericho, I would say, I love him as a wrestler and
absolutely,
and stuff like
absolutely.
That. But as far as Fozzy goes, like, I think he's an excellent front man. Like, he gives. He's so energetic and gives it sucks. He loves music. He loves metal and loves rock, and he loves performing. And you can see it. But he is tone deaf. He is the worst.
Could not agree more.
Singer I've ever gone. I saw him live twice.
Really?
Know? And God love him. He's trying very hard, but he cannot sing.
Now, did you see it when he was Mongoose McQueen? Do you remember that when they first started that shit? He had like the alter ego.
Yeah. Like, he's a lovely guy and he loves music, but he is a terrible singer. And unfortunately, that's probably the most important thing for a singer, to be able to sing. I heard Mick Foley stand-up has gotten better, but I can only go by the Dublin gig where it was basically a funeral broke out.
Oh, God.
It was myself and Ossie just banged on about it all the time, but it was it was horrendous. Like, he just, like, he's such a lovely guy, but he's a storyteller. He's not a comedian. He doesn't have punchlines.
Right. Or, it's just like, stories, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. He'd qualified the story. Let me tell you a story about Owen Hart. Yeah. And then the end of the story as well, that was Owen, you know? You know, that's fine, you know, but I'm not, you don't get a laugh out of it.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
Kind of important for a comedian. The other thing, it's weird because his warm-up acts got more laughs than he did.
Yeah.
But they're using their C material because they're a warm-up act.
Exactly.
You know, and they were, you know, there's very generic stuff. Oh, I take my kids to the beach and we have to go to the toilet. Oh, state of your toilet, mate, you know. that's the level of joke and material they had there. But he didn't know how to battle hecklers. And if you have two hecklers,
oh, God.
You can't sort them. It's just very unpleasant because you just start giving out. You know, and it's like being in primary school or elementary school and the teacher would give out to one person, but the whole rest of the class are there very uneasy on what to do.
Oh,
and,
that's fantastic.
Shit was. So I'd say, Mick Foley's worse.
Mick Foley's worse. There you have it.
Yeah.
All right. So where can people find you? Where can people find the show at?
Oh, we actually have a new website made by our buddy at Calzo. Calzo at oswreview.com. It actually has like our episodes. You can see our episode guide, has photos and like a Q&A and all links and goodness. You should check it out. It's pretty cool. And yeah, you can see our show there. So oswreview.com.
Outstanding. Yeah, I've checked out the new site. It looks great. Jay,
thank you, sir.
I cannot thank you enough for being on. You've taken time. It's almost midnight there. It's past midnight there in Dublin. Can't thank you enough for being here on Kayfabe Poker Night. Jay, thank you so, so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on. And
yes.
Remember,
yes,
a winner is you.